Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory lessons by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be beginning today is at the upper part of Daf Yud Zayin, and with it, we continue a series of questions. The triangle that appears on the second line from the top is the second in a series of questions that you can see are marked and numbered following the numbering system. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you will see triangles with numbers continuing down till number 5. The series started at the bottom of Tes Zayin Omid Beis, where we had a Nosei Mivneh heading introducing this series, where we had written into the outside margin Sidro Shel She'elois, a series of questions, She'amashutaf Lahem, that which is common to them, Shehiyah, the issue of delaying or tarrying in the Beis HaMikdash, Be'inyan Tuma, with regard to a state of impurity. So we continue with the second of these questions, second line from the top of Yud Zayin. Boy Rava, Tolo Atzmo Ba'avir Azora Mahu. Someone suspended himself in midair over the courtyard of the Azora. In other words, he's not standing with his feet on the Azora, but he's rather hanging from something, or suspended. And we want to know, what is the din with regard to a person suspended in a state of Tumah? Ki Gemiri Shihya, Shia Debas Ishtachavo. Maybe this is the first of two sides of the question. You can see there's an aleph indicating first side, and then O Dilma, which is squiggle underline, as we always do when we present alternatives to something. The second possibility is Beis, will be seen a little later. The first possibility is suggesting that maybe the tradition, Gemiri is a reference to the tradition that we have with regard to Shihia, the problem or the prohibition of delaying while in a state of Tumah in the Azora. This is a problem only if it's a delay in a form or in a situation where he could bow if he should want to. Namely, he's standing feet on the ground. So even if he's not actually bowing, but since he is standing feet on the ground, he could bow. Whereas if it's lav basishtachavoya, if he's delayed, but he's in a position where he couldn't bow even if he wanted to, namely he's suspended, so then there's no tradition of a prohibited delay in the courtyard in a state of tuma. O dilma bifnim shihiyo gemiri, lo shno de basishtachavoya, velo shno de lav basishtachavoya. Or, possibly, the tradition says that one shall not tarry inside, bifnim, inside, in the Azora, whether it be a delay, a tarrying capable of executing a bowing, or even if impossible to bow, still one is bifnim, and therefore he would be in violation if he tarries the prohibited amount of time. Teku. So the issue of suspension remains suspended, unresolved. Boy, Ravashi. Time atzmo bemezid mahu. Let's glance at Rashi, second line from the top. Time atzmo bemezid. V'im timtziloimar tzorich shihiyah lemalkas. If we take the standpoint that in order to be in violation and punishable by lashing, one does require shihiyah, one does require an amount of time, the shiur's man of shiur, and this, by the way, was the subject of the first question, which for the time being remained unresolved. But taking the side of that question that in order to be guilty of a physical punishment, one does need to delay there, and it's not as a result of instantly being there,
Betumas Oines Ushias Mezid. That is true, that may be true in the case where someone became Tomei unwittingly or by uncontrolled circumstances, but willingly delayed there. The question now is, what about a case of Tumas Mezid, where he became Tomei willingly? Does Mi Baya Shia Olo, does he require a shiur zman, the amount of time required for violation? Or maybe, since he became Tomei b'mezid, the requirement of being there a shiur zman doesn't apply. So now we read that in the Gemara, Ravashi raises the question of Timei atzmo b'mezid mahu. Be'oines gemiri shia b'mezid lo gemiri shia. Is it so that only when he became Tomei through uncontrolled circumstances, it is only then that in order to be in violation, one requires to stay there the amount of time one would be able to bow, which is the Shiur Zman of Shia. But if he became Tomei deliberately, then the dinim of the rules of Shia don't apply, and he would be in violation instantly. Oidomo, Bifnim Gemiri Shia, lo shno b'inis v'lo shno b'mezid. Or it could be that the rules concerning delay, that in other words, there is no violation unless he delays, that applies across the boards. Even if he became Tomei b'mezid, teku, this too remains unresolved. We may have pointed out that the series marking that indicates one of the series markings we're using here, you see this double underline with dots in it, we featured this on the outside margin. Teku is the in this case there's a series of answers or of statements following a number of these questions, and we've noted that the Teku response, that it's the response given to four of the five questions. So we continue in our question series of questions. Boy Rav Ashi, Nozir Bekever, Boy Shia Lamalkois Oi Eino Tzorach. What is the case of Nozir Bekever? So we can glance at Rashi, fourth line from the top, Nozir Bekever, Nozir Shinitma Boines Besuch Beis HaKvoros. A person who accepted on himself Nozir status is not supposed to defile himself to the dead. This fellow became Tomei under uncontrolled circumstances in a cemetery. Dumyo denitmo bazora. Shalon is chayev b'knisoso, Rashi goes on, and we're raising a question parallel to the case of Tuma in the Azora, where he was not guilty as a result of his entrance, kigon shenichnas lebeis hakvoros b'shido tevo migdal. The example of that would be where a nozir entered the cemetery in a protective shield, in a cart of sorts that serves as a protection, a defense against any tuma. Ubo chaveru poro olov es hamazivas gag ho'oil. Someone came along and then opened up the protection device, and whereby the tuma was able to affect the nazir in this particular cart. Venitmo ba'avir beis hakvoros, and he became exposed to the tuma in the airspace of the cemetery. Vehisrubo say, and they warned him, "Gotta get out." Velo yotza, and he didn't get out immediately. Umihu lo shah kidei hishtachavo. He started getting out, but not instantly. However, the total amount of time that he delayed there was less than the amount of time to bow, which is less than the known shiur of shihia. So we want to know, what is the din with regard to this nozir, and will he receive malkos for his delay or not? Once again, it was a delay that was less than the shiur of hishtachavo. So, reading that in the Gemara again, Boi Rav Ashi, Nozir Bekever, Boi Shila Malkois Oyeno Tzorach. Aleph, we see O Dilma Beis, and then on the next line, Bifnim Gimirishia, Bechutzlo Gimirishia. Is it so that only Bifnim, which is a reference to Tumas Azora, there the rules of Shihi apply, but outside the rules do not? O Dilma Beinus Gimirishia, with regard to uncontrolled Tuma, that is where the rules of Shihia apply, lo shna b'fnim, lo shna b'chutz, making no distinction between the Azora and the case of the Nozir and the Beis HaKvoros. Teku. This too remains unresolved. Bo loy baruka chayav b'ktzara poter. If upon exiting, the person who became Tomei in the Azora uses a root that's called aruka, which is defined as a root that there is a shorter option, and he doesn't use the shorter option, so he is guilty. Biktsara, if he exits using the shortest possible route for exiting the Azora, he will be exempt. Omar Rava, Ktsara Sha'amru. When the Mishnah speaks about leaving this person who became Tomei while in the Azara, and he is expected to leave through the shortest route, that's Afilu Okev Betzad Gudal, Afilu Kol Ayom Kulo. Even if he's walking heel to toe, meaning he's taking very short steps, or he's walking a normal type of walk, but at a very slow pace. As far as Rava is concerned, that fulfills the requirements of Ktsara, and therefore he would not be in violation. That wouldn't constitute a delay. Boy Rava, Shihi Ois Ma'u Shiit Starfu. Let's say a person is walking out using the short path, the shortest route to exit, and he delayed a little bit. He stopped briefly, then continued walking, stopped briefly again, and continued walking. Do those brief stoppings add up to the Shiur Shihia? That's Rava's question. The Gemara doesn't understand why Rava is asking his question, because he could answer from what he said above. Why does he not conclude his question from his own teaching, which would result in saying that they're not mitzarif? Just, if you notice, we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. Two lines up, we find the parallel arrow. There, Rava spoke about if a person exits, but it takes him, and he uses the shortest route, even if it takes him a long time, since he's using the shortest route, he's exempt. So wouldn't that be a way to show that that the Shios are not mitzarif? So the Gemara says no. That which Rava taught two lines up is not parallel to this case. Hasam b'delo shaha. There, he did not stop. He was constantly in a state of movement, albeit very slow. But he was in a constant state of movement, and hence, in that case, he would have been exempt. The next question. Boy mine abaye me rabo. Notice we've also attached a long question marking. In this case, we put a 6 in a triangle to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a length indicator, vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are part of the question, and the question is made up, as we saw the questions up till now, with an Aleph O Dilma Beis structure. Bo mine abaye me rabo. Bo loy baruka. Shi'ur Ktsara Mahu. Let's say that the person who became Tomei in the Azara used the longer route to exit, however, he ran on it. In other words, he used the longer route, but exited using that route the amount of time it would take someone else to exit using the shorter route. Glancing at Rashi, Bolo Baruka Kashir Kutsara, Shiosa Bederach Haruka Avol Rots Bimrutze. He ran on the long route. Ad Shalosha Biyitsioso Ela Kashir Derach Tsara Behiluch Benani Mahu. the amount of time that he spent exiting on the long route was for this person who was running on the long route the same amount of time that a person who uses the shortest route, it would take him to exit walking at a normal pace. So we have here running pace versus normal pace, the running on the long route versus the normal gait found taken on the shortest route. The question is now explained in further detail. We've assigned, as we mentioned before, Aleph and Oydoma Beis here. So Aleph, the first side of the question is, to be understood, Shiur Gemiri, V'chibolo Baruka Shiur Ktsara Potter, is it that we have a tradition that says it's all a matter of amount of time? And therefore, the tradition would say that if one walks out the Shiur Zman of walking on the Aruka, he would be guilty. But if he walks on the Aruka, he exits using the Aruka rapidly, namely faster than the amount of time it would take to walk on the Aruka in a normal pace, so then here he would be putter because it took him very little time, even though he was on the Aruka, because he ran on the Aruka. Oy Dilma, Davka Gemiri. The second possibility of this, second side of this question is that the tradition is Davka, is specific. Baruka Chayav Biktsara Potter. The tradition would have stated that using the long route, he is Chayav no matter how quickly he exits. In other words, even if he exits rapidly, but he's using the long route, therefore he's Chayav. And the use of the short route is exempt. Omar Lay, Rabba, who was asked the question, says, Lo nitna aruka lihidachos etzloi. This means that there is no option of exemption when it comes to the use of the long route. Therefore, even if he runs on the long route, he will not be exempt. He'll be guilty of tumah, of shi'i, of ba'azara. So according to Rava, it's not a function of time, but it's a function of the use of the long route. Before we proceed with the Gemara inside, let's glance at the titles that we've assigned to this section of the Gemara. The first, the Nosei, Shiur Gemiri O Davka Gemiri. Does the tradition concerning Shia involve an amount of time, or is it a matter of specific method of exit? Nafka Mina Im Yotza Baruka Baritza. The question will have practical bearing on a case where someone runs on the using the longer route for exiting. E Shiur Gemiri Potter, if the prohibition of delay is based on an amount of time, then this fellow who, albeit used the long route to exit, but he ran on it, therefore he, time-wise, he was not in violation. The second possibility is E Davka Gemiri, if the rules are stated not in terms of time, but use of long route versus use of short route. So even if he runs on the long route, he will be chayav. We have a subtopic called Tat Nosei, Kohen Tomei Sheshimesh, a Kohen who is in a state of tuma, that does avodas hamikdash, he does some type of temple activity as far as korban offering. Shechayav rak miso bidei shomai velo kores hechi mishkachas lo. The Gemara will describe a kohen sheshimesh betuma that is not chayav kores, which is the normal punishment for a kohen sheshimesh betuma. we will describe a kohen who is chayev only misa bidei shemayim, which is a lesser form of punishment than kores. And the Gemara will be asking, what are the circumstances? Darei im shoho kidei shtachavoya chayev kores. We know that in general, if someone delayed the amount of time to accomplish a bowing, he would be chayev the more severe kores penalty. V'yez avoido nitan lasus b'pochus michtei shia. Tomorrow we'll be looking into this question, what kind of avoda could possibly be done in less than the time of shihia, and therefore he, the kohen, that does this avoda in a state of tumah, but did not delay there, he would not be guilty of kores, but rather misa bidei shemayim. As we turn back to the Gemara, we pick up the word at the end of the line, maskif. This also begins a long question. We just heard Rabba say that the issue of delay is not tolui, is not dependent on time. Through learning this long question, we will discover to the contrary, that the issue of shihia is time oriented. The question will continue to the top apart, the second line from the top of Omid Beis. Maskif lo Rebbe Zera. Elo dekaimolon. We have established the following. Tome shishimesh b'misa. A kohen that was tome, that served in the Beis HaMikdash as one offering or participant in the sacrificial offering, that he is chayav misa bidei shemayim. Heichi mishkachas lo. How can we arrive at such a situation? Glancing at Rashi, heichi mishkachas lo be'ein bo kores. How could you have a situation where there's no kores? Rashi on the second line under the Gemara explains. First of all, we must be dealing with a case of someone that became Tome while in the Azor, as opposed to someone who was Tome and then entered. Rashi explains, because if you were dealing with someone that had become Tome outside and entered in a Tuma state, he would be Chayev Kores for entering in a state of Tuma. Therefore, this question of chayav misa, misa means misa b'dei shemayim, is not talking about that, but rather is talking about someone who became tomei while in the azara. Continuing in the Gemara, heichi mishkachas lo, we asked, how could this be? I delo yishoha heichi oven avoda. If he didn't violate the prohibition of delay, in other words, though he became Tomei, he exited immediately. So what kind of avoda could he possibly do in such a short amount of time? There's an assumption right now that there is no avoda that one could do, pochos michdei hishtachavoya. And if he delayed in the Azora while Tomei, so bar kores hu, he would be guilty of a kores penalty, not just misa bidei shemayim, which we view as a lesser form of punishment. I amris bishlamo shiuro gemiri. If you say that the whole issue of shia is a time-oriented phenomenon, then mishkachas lo, we can explain this din of shia without a chiyuv kores as follows. The onus nafshe b'ktzor of yovar avoda. Let's glance at Rashi. Kigon the onus nafshe b'ktzor liachar sheshimesh v'shoha b'shimusho kidei shihia. A kohen did some kind of service, and while doing the service, it took him the amount of time that would be kidei shihia, but then he ran out, Yotzalo b'ktzora, v'onas atzma b'mrutza. He then exited using the shortest available route while running on it. Ad Shaloi Shoha Shiur Akavoso Mishenitma. With this scenario being described, we'll tell you that he did not delay from the point he became Tomei, Shiur Shi'ia V'yitzias K'tzara B'himuch Beinunis. What was just described is the standard form of becoming of Chayav Kores through Shia, which is the amount of time to execute a complete bowing. That's called the Shiur Shia. And the exiting using the shortest route while walking a normal pace. So if you do that, a Shiur Shia plus exiting at a normal walking pace, that would be the violation of Shia and Chayav Kores. However, if one would do an avoda, albeit taking the amount of time, the Zman Shia, but he ran out the using the shortest route available, he wouldn't be in violation of the Torah's Torah's prohibition of Shehiya, because it took. He was there less than the Shiur Shia and Yitzias Ketara Behiluch Beinoni, because on the as far as the exiting is concerned, he ran, which is takes less time than the Hiluch Beinoni, the normal average walking pace. So if you say, as we just said, that the issue of delay is based on a time factor, then we have just described a Shia without a Chiv Kores. Elo I Amris Davka Gemiri, if you're going to say, however, that it's not time-oriented, then Hechi Mishkachas Lo, how do you describe the Koyein that's Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim and not Kores? Rashi at the top says, Elo I Amris, we have on Rashi at the top of Omid Beis, Elo I Amris Davka Gemiri, Shoha kidei hishtachavoya chayov, ve'afilu yotza loy biktzora bimrutza nischayev v'shiyoso. If you say that it's a function of delay, namely shia kidei hishtachavoya is chayov, even if exiting with speed on the using the derech k'tzora, that is enough for creating the Chiyuv Shehiya. So then how do you have a case of a Chiyuv Kores? In other words, this position of Davka doesn't take into consideration the pace at which one exits. As we said earlier, as Rabbo said, if one exits using the long route, even though he runs on it, the Dafka approach says you use the long route. That's a violation. Even though time-wise you exited it very quickly, that doesn't figure. That was Rabbo's position. But if you assume that position, then we don't see a case of Kayin Shava Avoda that's Chayav only Misa B'dei Shemayim and not Kores. Omar Abaye. Abaye responds. He responds on behalf of Rabbo's position and says, "My Kushya, why do you feel that this poses a difficulty? Mishkachas law, we can describe a case of an avoda that does not involve shehiya, that doesn't involve any delay. Kugoin shebo biktzora, someone who became Tomei in the Azara, started without staying there assure the amount of time to do a hishtachavoya. He let us say he exits immediately using the shortest available route, and while he's exiting the hofach betzinura, there is some meat that's being consumed on the altar, it's in the fire, and using an implement called sinura, type of, we'll say, long fork, he flips over the meat that's on the mizbeach and enabling it to be consumed more rapidly in the fire. that would be considered an avoda, and on as Rav Huna teaches, uched Rav Huna, the Omer Rav Huna, zar shehipech betzinuro chayav misa. A zar is a non-kohen who flips over meat using a sinuro device. Is chayav misa? He's in violation of the prohibition of a non-kohen doing avoda. And he's therefore chayav misa b'nei shemayim. So we see that hofach betzinur is a form of avoidas hakorbonas, and therefore, if we describe someone who doesn't delay at all in the azara and exits immediately using the shortest available route, nevertheless he can still do an avoda, which is the thing that is, which is the activity that is mechayev him misa b'dei shemayim. We can look at Rashi on the third line from the top, Mishkachas Lo. We find the case of Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shemayim without Koris, B'avodah B'loshiyah, describing someone who does a temple service without delay. Shinitmo V'yotza Miyad B'Ktzora. He became Tomei while in the Azara and exited immediately using the shortest available route. The Derech Yitzyotsu, and as he was exiting, Hoya Oichez Mazleg Biyodo, he was holding this Tsinura implement. The Hika Boy Be'echod Minho Evorim Sha'al Hamarocha, and he impacted one of the portions of meat that were on the altar fireplace. The Hofach Ma She Lamalo Lamato. And he flipped it over, the upper side, he flipped over down now facing the fire. And we've considered that action the hastening of the consummation of the meat in the fire as a form of avoda. The Gemara now looks into this issue on its own, the issue of zar shehipech betzinura as being chayav misa, and that's the title of this new piece of Gemara, Gufa. Gufa is a reference to something that was mentioned earlier. Now we will focus on it. Omar Avuna Zar shehipech betzinuro chayav misa. He's chayav mishum the v'hazor hakorev yumos. Hechi domi I deloy hafach lo lo miakli. If he had not flipped it over, the meat would not have been consumed. Then pshita, I don't need Rav Huna to tell me that this is an avoda, and hence a zar would be chayav misa, would be obvious. And if you say that even without his intervention in flipping over the meat would have been consumed anyway, then what did he do? The flipping over was an irrelevant action. Why would he be chayav misa? Loi tzricha. The case that Rav Huna is describing is necessary to be taught. The iloi hafach behu meakli betarti shoi, v'hashta meakli bechad shaita. Had he not intervened, the meat would have been consumed, but after 2 hours of its exposure to the fire, and now that he intervened, by flipping it over, it will be consumed in half the time, in 1 hour. The ha komash malon, and the following is what's revealed by this halacha of Rav Huna, the ha kruve avoda, avoda hi. Anything that hastens the process is considered an essential part of the process, and hence it's called an avoda. And if a non-kohen does it, he would be chayav misa. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side of the Gemara under the heading Nosei. Derech Bia Asra Torah. The Torah prohibits entrance when done in a normal fashion. Nafkamina le, we will say that this statement of Derech Biosra Torah has a practical bearing. Number one, Hanichnas Derech Achurav LeBeis HaMenuga, one who backs into, he walks backwards into a house that's afflicted with Negoyim. And number two, Hanichnas Derech Gagov le Derech Gagin LeHechal, one who enters the Hechal but through the roof. The Gemara begins with Rav Hoshaya's comment. We have noted a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see Rav Hoshaya encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are part of his presentation. Amar Hoshaya, Bo'ino de'emo milso, u'mistafino me'chavraya. I want to say something, and I'm afraid of the reaction of my colleagues. So, we've broken this introductory remark into two parts, as you will see why in the Gemara. So, point one. Hanichnas, this is the matter that Rav Hoshaya wanted to say. Hanichnas lebeis hamenuga, derech achorav, ve'afilu kulo chutz mechotmo, tohar. One who enters an afflicted house, afflicted with negoyim, he backs into the house, where he's almost completely in the house with the exception of his nose. In other words, his nose is outside the house. This person is tohor, dichtiv v'habo el habayis, which means derech bio osra Torah, the prohibition otherwise of entering a beis hamenuga. That's only if it's habo el habayis, he enters in a normal fashion. When we speak about prohibition, we're talking about an entrance that would result in the individual becoming tome. So that's what he wanted to say. And number two, umestafino mechavaya, and I'm afraid of my colleagues, I hachi kulo nami. They would respond and say that if this is so, that derech biyosur Torah, then even if he entered completely that way, he would encounter he would not encounter the tumah because he's not entering derech bia. He's backing in. Omar Rava. Rava, addressing this last point, says it's not really a point of concern. Kuloi loy gora mikelim shebebayis. Where a person entered completely, even though he backed in, it's no worse than vessels in a beis hamenuga. Vessels are not capable of walking on their own. And what does it say about vessels? Dichtiv v'lo yitmo kol asher babayis. That by taking everything out, the contents of the house won't become tummy because everything was taken out. But what we see from this pasuk is that everything that's in the house, in meaning completely in the house, is subject to tumo. And that would include even someone who backs in to the house, to the beis hamenuga. Tanya nami hochi, and we have a Tanaic source that supports this idea. Gagin halolu, the roofs of the temple offices that the temple structures that sat in the courtyard, the roofs of these things. Ein oichlin sham kotshe kotshim ve'ein shochten sham kotshim kalim. One is not allowed to eat on these roofs, even though they're in the Azorah. He cannot eat there the type of meat that's classified as kotshe kotshim, the highest form of holiness. And likewise, it's not a place that kotshim kalim are allowed to be slaughtered. V'tomei shenichnas derech gagin lahechal poter. A Kayin who entered the Hechal but via the roof is exempt. Shinemar the El Hamikdosh Lo Tovo Derech Bia Asro Torah. So we see when the Torah mentions entrance, like we saw by the Beis HaMenuga V'Habo El Habayis, we have here a similar Pasuk El Hamikdosh Lo Tovo. The Torah is concerned only with situations of normal entrance. But if it's an unusual way of entering, it would not carry with it guilt. We just might want to point out as an exception is the issue of someone who backed into a beis hamenuga, even though he entered unusually, he is still classified as tamei because he's no worse than the case of kelim that are sitting in a house, in a beis hamenuga. Zuhi mitzvahs asei shebamikdosh she'ein chayovin olaha v'chulei. Before we go further, let's glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. The topic we have assigned to this Gemara, Sanhedrin v'to'u b'hoira, Sanhedrin who erred in a legal ruling, legabi, 1, chiyuv yitzio l'mi shenitmo b'beis hamigdash, regarding the obligation of someone who became tome to leave the Beis HaMikdash. So the Sanhedrin are p'turim mipar helem. And even though when Sanhedrin makes a mistake in a legal ruling that concerns a chiyuv kores, they have to bring a special korban called par helem dover shel tzibur. If they erred in this area of halacha, the issue of yitzia, exiting the Azora for regarding someone who became Tameh, they will be exempt from this korban. Point two, Masha'en king legabi tois shel hamishameshim ishtoi v'omro tameani. This is as opposed to someone who was found with his wife in intimacy, and during the intimacy she declared that she just became a nida, she became tameya. The alzeh chayyovin par helem. You'll ask, what in the world do these two topics have to do with one another? So they have this in common. People that are upon entrance to whatever, one case being the Beis HaMikdash, the other case being entrance to his wife, entering legitimately, meaning in a non-tomei fashion, and while inside, they become tomei. So in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, if the Sanhedrin ruled erroneously concerning that topic, they will not be chayev a par helem dover shel tzibur. But in the case of intimacy, if they ruled incorrectly regarding that topic, they will be chayev a par helem dover shel tzibur. Now, turning to the Gemara. Zuhi mitzvah asei shebemikdash she'ein chayovin oleho. That was in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah drew a distinction between those two topics that we mentioned in our introduction. The Gemara wants to know, where is the Tana of this Mishnah coming from that he makes reference to something that really wasn't discussed earlier in the Mishnah, in an apparent fashion? At this point, the Mishnah announces that this is a mitzvah saseh of the Mikdash where there's no chiyuv par helem. The Mishnah was not discussing the dinim of par helem dover shel tzibur up till this point. So where is the Tana coming from that he makes reference to this? Heicha koi dekomar zuhi. Where was it ever taught that there's no chiyuv of a par helem if they ruled erroneously on an asei shebemikdash? So the Gemara answers, Hosam Koi, the Tana is coming off of a Mishnah found in Maseches Horius. Here we have a quote from that Masechta. It says, Ein chayovin alasei ve'alois aseh shebemikdash. The court is not guilty if they rule erroneously concerning positive and negative commands regarding the Beis HaMikdash. And a private person, if he violates something that concerns the aseh or losas of the Beis HaMikdash, he won't be chayev to bring the korban oshem toli. By the way, the korban oshem toli is something characterizing someone who is in doubt about whether or not he committed the offense. So if he's in doubt regarding a matter that's of a positive or negative nature, with regard to the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be chayev in Oshem Toloi. Avol chayev in al aseh ve'alos aseh shebenida. But the court would be chayev a par helem dover shel tzibur if they rule erroneously in the case of the positive or negative commands that are nida related. And likewise, a private person who inadvertently or who violates but is in doubt whether he violated the asay or los asay of nida would bring an osham toli. Vika Omar, and coming off of this Mishnah, the Mishnah in Horius, our Mishnah says, Zuhi mitzvah asei shebemikdash, ein chayavim alav. The issue of one who became Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash is the illustration of the mitzvah asei shebemikdash, that the Sanhedrin would not be chayav of the korban par helam dovash tzibor that was featured in Maseches Horius. And what is that mitzvah asei concerning nida that the Sanhedrin would be chayav of the parhelim, which was also referenced to in Horius? So our Mishnah completes the picture and says, Hoyamishamesh imatohiro, a person was involved with intimacy with his tohor wife, the omra loi nitmesi, and in the midst of this activity she declares that she is tomei. Upiresh miyad, and he exits from the intimacy immediately. Chayov, he is considered guilty. Mitnei shiutziyoso hanolo kibiyoso, since he exited immediately and did not wait for the aver to become mace. In other words, that's the situation where, which is the opposite of an aver shibakoshi, but rather it's the aver that's become mace. Since he didn't wait, he is chayav. Itmar. Before we continue with the Gemara, let's glance at the side. We have a nosei klali, a general topic that will take us till Yud Ches Omid Beis. Dinim hakshurim lemeshameshim ishtoi v'omro tameani. We'll see a long discussion concerning a couple in a state of intimacy, which though started off in an acceptable fashion, in the midst of it she declares that she is unfit because she is experiencing nida. So Abaye says, Itmar, Abaye Omar, Mishmei Rav Chiya bar Rav, Chayov Shtayim, that one who exits the intimacy while Bekishui, he is Chayov two Korbonas. V'chein Omar Rova, Omar Rav Shmuel bar Shvo, Omar Rav Huna, Chayov Shtayim, he's in violation of two offenses. Chado aknisa v'chado aprisha. One is because of the initial entrance, and one because of the departure, of his pulling away. The Gemara, as it unfolds, will explain the details of this knisa and prisha, and why is it that he's chayav too. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note. We've also drawn in a triangle. This represents Shlovim, stages. Lahazbir ha diomru ha-purish mimena mi shomron tameani miyad, one who left her immediately. Chayav shnayim, he's chayav two korbonas. Havi bo, turning back to the Gemara, Havi bo Rava. Rava asks concerning this din of Chayav Shtayim. Bimai, what are the circumstances? Notice we have triangles which continue to the upper part of Yud Ches Omer Aleph. We'll see three stages in trying to analyze this. If we're talking about a person who started the intimacy at a point in time when she is about to experience her normal female cycle, that's called somuch levesta. In our Gemara markings, we're going to be using a double underline throughout this little piece of Gemara. You'll notice on the outside margin the indication of a double underline, and we've noted samuch or lo samuch levesta. We'll be analyzing this issue of the intimacy. Did he start it next to vesta, meaning close to her vestis is the normal time that she would she would experience her monthly, her cyclical female cycle,
Of course, when a woman is experiencing that cycle, it's called nida, and he's forbidden to be with her. So if the situation that was mentioned before, if Chayef Shtayim involved someone starting the intimacy samach levesta, well, so uviman, and by the way, if it's samach levesta, it would be we could not describe him as an oines regarding the knisa. He's not an oines, it's not something uncontrollable, but he's also not mazed, he's also not considered a willing violator, because even though it was samuch levesta, she wasn't yet a nida. So, let us set up the case in the meantime. If you say the chayav shtayim was because he entered samuch levesta, uveman, who are we talking about? I lemo b'talmud chacham. A Talmud Chacham is someone who we would expect to know that as far as exiting is concerned, he has to wait until the Aver becomes mace so that he doesn't experience the physical pleasure of exiting with an Aver Bekoshi. So if we're describing a Talmud Chacham, Bishlamo Aknisa Lechayev, I can understand that there would be a Chiyuv Korban for his entrance under the circumstances that, once again, he entered Samuch Levesta, she had not yet experienced the Tumah, this Nida, but while he was with her, while he was with his wife, who was Samuch Levesta, she then all of a sudden became Tumah. So if we're talking about that, and we're talking about a Talmud Chacham, so I understand that Aknisa Lechayev, regarding the entrance, he carries guilt. Kosovar Yochoni Livoil, he thought he would be able to successfully complete the intimacy without encountering Tuma. Ela Aprisha Amai Lechayev. But as far as the departure is concerned, if he departed with an Aver Bekoshi, why should he be Chayev a Korban? He doesn't deserve to bring a Korban. Mazid who? He did something here, a knowing violator, because if we're saying we're talking about a Talmud Chacham, someone who's knowledgeable, he knows that you are not allowed to leave the Aver Koshi, and he did. So I don't see Chayav Shtayim. The E Ba'am Ha'oretz, and if we're talking about someone who's not knowledgeable, then he doesn't know about the prohibition of Samuch Levesta, and therefore he enters without knowledge, and he exits without knowledge, and it's all done without any discovery in the middle. In other words, it's as the Gemara describes, Edi v'Edi, both of his actions, his entrance, we'll call it his problematic entrance and his problematic exit, were both ochal shneze sechelev behelim echadhu. This is a borrowed expression, the literal translation has no relevance to us, but it's a situation where a person is in violation of two things in one state, and one continuous state of lack of awareness. So that, as the example the Gemara cites, if he ate two pieces of chelev but didn't discover any problem in the interim, he would be chayv only one korban. It's considered a singular continuum of violation. Therefore, I still don't understand what was meant earlier when the Gemara made reference to chayav shtayim. The Ella, so let's try this approach out. B'she'ein samuch levesta. A person who had relations with his wife not near the time of her expected cycle. So we'll say, let's talk about that case, that scenario. Uveman, who are we describing? Ilemo b'talmud chacham, if it's a person who is knowledgeable, then v'loy chado lo mechayev, he shouldn't be chayev any korbanos. Why? Aknisa onus. As far as entrance is concerned, he entered. He had started his intimacy totally legitimately because it was not samuch levesta, and the fact that she became a nida, that was totally unexpected, and that's classified as oinus. As an onus, there's no korban. Aprisha mazid. And as far as the departure, okay. So he entered. She declared she is a nida. As far as the departure is concerned, he departed immediately. And
being that he's a Talmud Chacham, he is aware that that's prohibited. So for, as far as that's concerned, the, as far as the departure, he's mazed. And therefore, there's no korban for that either. E ba'am ha'aretz, and if we're talking about ein somach levesta, and he's an ignoramus, then chada hu demechayev aprisha. He should be chayev only one korban, not two, and that's for his departing b'kishui ever, but no further, no additional korban. The Gemara answers, Hodar Omar Rova, Li'olam B'Somuch Levesta. We are talking about entrance at a time very close to her expected cycle, U'Betalmud Chocham, and the reason that that he's high of two Korbanos is we are talking about a knowledgeable person, however partially knowledgeable. V'Talmud Chocham L'Zu V'Ein Talmud Chocham L'Zu. He is knowledgeable about the prohibition of being with her Samuch Levesta, but he tried anyway because he figured he could do it without encountering the actual cycle. But he's Ein Talmud Chacham Lezu, he's not knowledgeable with regard to the need for waiting before departing or separating from her when she announces she is Tumeah. Rashi elaborates on this. Ubetamut Chocham Lezu, Klomar, Yodea Shisrael Muzhorim Lifresh Mishra Sam Samuch Levestan, Kinamala Kamon, Mivizartim is Ben Yisrael Mitumasan. He knows that the Jewish people are warned by the Torah to keep a distance from their wives. In other words, keep away from intimacy when it's near the Veses time, near the expected time of the cycle to take place. Based on the pasuk of Vizartim es bnei Yisrael mitumosan, v'ein yodea. However, he is not knowledgeable. Shamishamish imatoiro v'yomro nitmesi tzorch lifroish be'ever meis. This halacha he doesn't know about. Tahavile shogeg al shteim. He's considered an unwitting violator with regard to both of these aspects. Aknisa, as far as the entrance where he entered Samach Levesta, the sofer he thought Yechomi Livol, I will be able to complete the intimacy before any nida breaks out. V'aprisha Omer Mutter, and as far as the prisha is concerned, he is someone who thinks that this is Mutter. He thinks that it's Mutter to separate from her with an Aver Bekoshi, and the Omer Mutter is considered a shogeg, and hence Chayev a Korban. And as far as the objection that was cited earlier about, well, it's two acts of shogeg in one continuum, that's not true over here. Why not? Sharei Talmud Chacham hu lezu, shelo hayoloi livol samuch levesta. He is a Talmud Chacham with regard to, he's knowledgeable with regard to that problem, the entrance problem. The ein ze oines elo shogeg, that is considered shogeg because sovri yochoni livol kodem. He thought he would be able to complete the intimacy before she becomes an ida. The chiyom alone it may seem when she says, "Oh, I became tamea." At that point, yoda shechot aknisa. He then realized that what he planned was a bad plan, and that his entrance at that point, he realized that his entrance was in fact problematic, and because he has a state of awareness of a problem at this point, namely before he departs from her, and that's there is knowledge between the entrance and the exit, and therefore we cannot call this behelim echad in one continuum of lack of awareness. So with this point, or with this last point of Rava, or description of Rava, of a Talmud Chacham Lezu, the lo Lezu, we have discovered the case of a person entering, it was Nichnas Lishto, we said, Somuch Levesta, V'omro Temeo Ani, and we saw the ruling of Chayef Shtayim, and with Rava's explanation we understand what was meant. With that, we complete our shiur for today.